Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 69 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at DefBango on Twitter. And with me is Jared Kimber, as always, who you can find literally everywhere. And we don't have Estelle this week. She is sick. So Varun Alvaconda will be replacing her, who you can find literally nowhere. And of course, it is episode 69. So a shout out to all Angelo Matthews fans and all of you kinky bastards. And in the spirit of episode 69, today's topic, guys, is a team of cricketers with maximum aura. So how do you feel about that?
I feel it's like a very it's a made-up thing.
Yeah, it's a very fun one, and it's could go absolutely wrong anywhere. Which is the best Crickpix episodes, to be fair. There is no statistical way we can measure this.
The dumber it is, the more fun it is, I suppose. So both of you were right.
Also,
it is dumb
this is
and
the
fun.
First Crickpix without Estelle.
Is
this
it?
Might be the first ever Crickpix without Estelle.
Yeah, it's you two are always there, right?
It's a shame she missed out on episode 69. She was probably the biggest Angelo Matthews fan, right? Anyway, just a quick briefing on what Crickpix is all about if you're new. On this podcast, we take any generic cricket category and we draft our top five each for that category in a snake-style draft competition. So the pick order goes 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. And sometimes we also draft teams of 12, which is what we're doing today with the Maximum Aura team. And I've got first pick. And there are two very obvious picks over here, I feel, when it comes to Maximum Aura. And they're both from the same era. And they are both, like, I don't know which one is pick number one or which should be pick number one, right? It's a tough one. It'll probably make Varun's job easy because I'm going to pick one of them. And my first pick will be Imran Khan. I cannot look past him. The hair is, it's too luscious to look past. And of course, he was a very fine specimen, both on and off the cricket field, right? We all remember or often speak about how he went on that hot streak or his peak in which he played 51 tests and averaged
hot streak on and off the field.
Yeah, below 20 with the ball and above 50 with the bat. And off the field as well, he was averaging plenty, right? In terms of cultural impact on the sport and aura and the fact that he was looked upon as this demigod. And Jared will obviously share some stories about Imran Khan in Australia as well. I feel like he has to be first pick.
I don't know if he was first pick, but he's probably in the shortlist to be first pick. I mean, my favorite story about him is you've got to understand that Australia has this weird history with Muslims. I don't know if you guys know about this, but Afghanistanis actually helped build Australia, right?
Oh, and I had no idea.
They named a train line after them called the Ghan, which goes from Darwin to Adelaide. Because in the old, before they had the train, the Afghanistanis would do that with camels, right? And then they kept the camels, but they kicked out the Afghanistanis. Right?
Oh, wow.
And basically from that point all the way through until, you know, people Australia starts allowing immigrants, non-white immigrants in again, which is what, 70s, 80s, whenever it was. It was a long time. It was a long time without, with only white people allowed to come to Australia. And from that point, there's no real Muslim culture in Australia, right? There are little pockets of it, but there isn't much there. Imran Khan comes over to Queensland, of all places. And you have to know that the Queensland that Imran Khan went to was the most right-wing Australia that has ever existed, right? Like, they had this premier called Joe Bjelke-Petersen, who like just gerrymandered his way into power over and over again. They had curfews. Like there were certain times you weren't allowed out if you were a kid, right? And in the middle of that, this Muslim playboy, he's just fucking everyone and is this idol of all Australian cricketers. Like if you talk to Australian cricketers from that period, they will still tell you stories about Imran Khan on and off the field. And then he goes on to be a sex symbol in Australia for like 15 years. Right? Almost from Shield cricket, World Series cricket, all the way through to 92 World Cup. So much so that, you know, there was a famous character in brownface playing Imran Khan, and all he ever talks about is how he wants to make love to you like a tiger. Like, it's the
like
whole thing.
Like a cornered tiger.
Like a cornered tiger, yeah. And so that's how ridiculous he was in a culture that was not ready for Imran Khan in any way, shape, or form. So it's the same in England. You still hear the stories, right? Like, and as I said, it's not just off field. It's everything. It's on field.
I think there's an urban legend that if you meet a middle-aged white woman and she has a mixed race son, it's probably Imran's kid.
Yeah. I mean, look, his imprint on England is massive, right? Like, he's still that sort of icon over there, and he nearly made it as some, like, I don't know, Chancellor of Oxford, or I don't know, something of Oxford, I can't quite remember, right?
Yeah.
Whilst he is in jail. So that kind of shows you what level of imprint he kind of left over there. And also, like, forget, like, everything he did on and off the field. Just look at some of the photos that photographers have captured over the years of Imran, right, kind of rubbing the ball on his trousers, right? Like, it's just stuff like that which gives him those maximum aura points.
What is it, ball, like a 26 over spell in Australia? Or like, was it 30 over something?
But also, then late career, just going, I'm going to become a batter now, like, as well. Like, it really is a ridiculous career when you think about who he is and where he came from and all that. It's bonkers.
Yeah. Anyway, that was first pick for me. And now Varun has second pick. And it's an obvious one, isn't it?
I'm stuck between two here. One is my favorite cricketer. And the other is, I think, very influential in cricketing history. I think I'm going with the latter. Yeah. I'm going with Sir Viv Richards here.
Yeah, that's a correct call. I was confused between Imran and Viv, and I went with Imran. Yep.
No, also, sorry, it's Viv Richards again. It's the raw, like the raw, like the machismo when he walked out. Yeah.
If you're doing full names, if you're taking his full name, might as well say Sir Isaac Vivian Richards, which adds more aura points, doesn't it?
Isaac Vivian Alexander Richards.
Yeah.
So
wow.
I think in my book, in Test cricket, I compared him to John Wayne, right? And didn't. Yeah, I was going to say, you guys probably don't know. So John Wayne is like the biggest movie star in what, 50s and 60s?
Yeah, I know John Wayne.
In Hollywood, right? Yeah, I know. But not all young people would know. Yes. And he's a Western star, and he's a big dude, and he's known as this like really masculine character. But his actual name was Marion, right? And if you watch him walk... It wasn't until the movie The Birdcage, which if you guys haven't seen, is one of the best comedies ever made, The Birdcage. Mm. And in The Birdcage, Nathan Lane imitates John Wayne's walking. And you suddenly realize, like, a lot of people have made fun of it, but I don't think I'd ever realized how camp John Wayne's walking style was, right? But no one ever made fun of John Wayne for his camp walking style or his name because he was John Wayne. Viv Richards. Viv is basically a name that is only known for women everywhere. And if you ever watch someone, I remember Michael Carberry doing the imitation of Viv Richards in the change rooms for England and they filmed it. And I was like, oh my God, Viv Richards basically walked like a weird cat model, supermodel, cat model. I don't know. A catwalker. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. So, cat walker.
Walks down. Because if you have a look at his hips, they're like, they're all over the place. Right. Mm. And yet again, they're so, it's just like, if you named another child Viv and got them to walk like that, like every teenage kid in the land would make fun of, well, in the old days, teenage kids are a little bit more woke now, but in my day, like, everyone would have made fun of him. No one made fun of Viv Richards. No one ever questioned the way he walked or whatever. Instead, it became a legendary thing that he did. And, you know, my favorite thing is, and I tried to explain this, and I'd like to do it in a better project one day, but, like, you watch Viv Richards in a game, and he smashes a four, and then he comes down and does gardening. But he never actually, he's not doing the gardening because he cares about the pitch at all. He's doing the gardening to basically show everyone else that that was not a big deal. That shot I just played that just blew your mind was not a big deal. And that's why for me, it's just, it's an incredible overall aura. And there's, I would say that there's like a touch of racism about it because, you know, it's this black guy that everyone sees is really cool. But if you compare him, like, there really isn't that many other West Indian players who have a similar like aura to Viv Richards. Like, he's apart even within that system. Like, Gordon Greenidge, people love Gordon Greenidge. No one's talking about him having swagger or anything. They're just talking about what a great batter he was, right? Like, even Lara, right? Yes. Like, Lara has a different kind of aura, but he's not thought of as that kind of aura. Like, Viv Richards is a man apart. It really is. Yeah. It's a unique thing that he has. Mm. And I think I remember when George Best died, and my wife couldn't get it, right? Because, you know, other footballers have been around or whatever. And I said, I think some people just define a generation and their overall impact. They might have been better footballers or better athletes than them at the same time. But they just define that. And there are so many young men who just grow up wanting to be like that. And that's what Viv Richards was from like 1975 through to like now. There are still kids looking at him online and getting those feels. Like, you know, that's that sort of Muhammad Ali impact, right? Where you're just like, you don't even just dominate your era, you start to dominate other eras, because the minute you look at the old footage, it's like, oh my God.
I mean, the word swagger, I feel, is synonymous with Viv Richards. That's kind of how it came into the cricket vernacular. And not wearing a helmet, that adds aura points as well. Saying that every ball can be hit for a boundary is also something that adds aura. Yeah. Like you said, even today he has that impact. He is or has been mentor of the Quetta Gladiators. And you see how much of a figure he is in that dressing room, right? Yeah, they're all about Viv.
Yeah, on a World Cup game, I think it was commentating. They were like, if I had the modern bats, there would be a few dead bodies in the stands.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff.
I remember one of my greatest moments in my career was we had to film something with him. And we're in the Lord's press box and it was had to be filmed. They put the painting up of him. The painting up of him at Lord's is incredible if you guys haven't seen it, by the way.
I've seen
it. It's like a close-up of his face. It's just incredible. Yes. And so we had to go film something for him with him for that. And we were going to go around the boundary and it was like lunch or tea or whatever. And he was like, nah, we'll walk across. And like, it's the only time during play that I've walked through the middle of a cricket crowd, right? And we got about 40 meters in, maybe 30 meters in, when the crowd realized who it was who was walking with us. And there was just this, it wasn't even applause or celebration. It was just like, you could hear the crowd change the sound as they realized who this was. And it was, you know, it really was just a special moment to walk across. And I was like, this is this like a Tuesday for him, right? Like he walks into a room and gets treated like that all the time. So it must be, you know, just an extraordinary life to live.
I mean, wherever he goes, he gets treated like royalty. I remember like my uncle tells me stories of how when West Indies used to tour Pakistan in the 80s, he would come out to bat. He hasn't scored a single run and he would get a standing ovation. That was Viv Richards for you. But I do have a counter argument on why Imran is first pick, guys. Did Viv Richards use his aura to become prime minister? Because Imran did.
Yeah, to be honest, mate, I'm pretty sure that if Viv had run, he would have been prime minister. Not just of his island. They would have brought the Caribbean together and he could have been prime minister of all of them. The funniest story with Viv Richards, and this just shows you how ridiculous he is. He's the flag holder in the 1998 Commonwealth Games why am I blanking on his country?
Antigua. Antigua.
No? Sorry, Antigua, of course.
Yes.
Antigua. Sorry. I completely blanked. I don't know why I had Trinidad in my head. He's the flag bearer for Antigua in the 1998 Commonwealth Games. He's retired for about 5 years by that point.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. He's not playing for Antigua in that thing. They're just hold the flag. It doesn't matter. You know, we've got other athletes here. We've got people who might win gold medals, but you're Viv Richards. So I think it's important to know just how much of an impact he had on general society.
Yeah, so we've got two legends of the game as our first two picks in this maximum aura team. But anyway, before Jared gets his two picks in a row,
important question. Do we have Viv at 3 or 5?
We will figure that out. Right now, Varun, though, we are going to take a short break. You're watching Crick Picks with Jared Bayram and Varun, and we'll see you very, very shortly.
Remember that cricket is a funny game. 100 years before we protected our head, players looked after their groins. So don't be as stupid as old cricketers. Protect your computer now. NordVPN is the protection I use when facing cyber shortballs or when rights issues try to dismiss me. Geo-block so you can watch all the cricket you want. Grab your NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/Kimber.
Welcome back to Crick Picks. You guys are with Bayram, Jared and Varun. And Jared has two picks in a row coming up. And we're building a team with maximum aura points. So Jared, let it rip.
I'm going to ruin our 11 here. But I think our 11 has to be ruined anyway. But I am going Garfield Sobers as third and Keith Miller as fourth.
All right.
We've already got three. We've now got three all-rounders of our first four players. But really, batters don't have that much aura. Garfield Sobers. I mean, Garfield Sobers is ridiculous. You know, the legends of what he could do on a cricket field and what he did, especially in the lower levels of like running behind the sight screen to take catches and, you know, cutting his own fingers off because he was born with too many fingers and, you know, and halfway through his career, just being like, maybe I could open the bowling. I don't know. Let's just give it a go. Let's see if I can do this. And then becoming a really good opening bowler in the back half of his career. Six sixes in an over when it wasn't really thought of something that anyone could do. I remember talking to, I think it was Bob Knocker-White, who played with him for years, who just said, like, I would bat with him and I would say, how would you do that? And Sobers would just sort of shrug his shoulders and go, I don't know. Like, just it seemed like the right shot to play at the time. It just doesn't make any sense. So Garfield Sobers, for me, he's still venerated, right, as one of the most famous cricketers in the world now. And he's 90, I want to say. He's like, he's really old, right?
Over 90.
And you listen to the, you listen when he comes up on the screen, because he's always at Barbados, isn't he? And he's in the crowd and they show him, and listen to the commentators. Right, they're still talking about him like he's the best cricketer of the world now, and he hasn't played since the 70s, right? And they'll talk up his golf game as well. And it's like, guys, you don't have to. It's okay. We get it. He was really good. And then the other one I'll go with is Keith Miller, who is kind of the ultimate aura player, right? Like, Keith Miller was more aura than he was numbers. Like, and he's pretty good numbers as well. Like, he was one of the best fast bowlers of his era and could bat in the top four. Like, he was pretty good when it comes to that, but Keith Miller is known as this fighter pilot, playboy, fucking royal members of the royal family. Also, it's worth noting that before he had his growth spurt, he was a professional jockey. Then he had a growth spurt and became a professional Aussie rules player. And he wasn't just an ordinary Aussie rules player. He was, he was a top 25 in Australia Aussie rules player as well. Like, everywhere you look at Keith Miller, he had succeeded in his life. It probably masked some of the issues that he had with his home life. Of course, there's a tragic documentary about how I think two of his sons became heroin addicts. And he sort of, he comes to grips with not being a good father. But that, we no one really knew that until 30, like until he was basically in a wheelchair and he was really old. Up until that point, he was just thought of as the coolest guy alive. Like, he can fly fighter jets. He can date the royals. He can hit sixes and he can bowl faster than anyone else in the world. Like, what a ridiculous combination of things that has. And then you look at Keith Miller again and he looks like a friggin' model, right? Like, he's a ridiculous looking guy. He looks like the sort of guy that you can't cast as the main character in a Hollywood film because he's a little bit too perfect in features, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not quite interesting enough in the face because he just looks so perfectly cut out. And, you know, this is a guy who, as a captain, would go out on the field and just say to the fielders, scatter, right? Like, talk about ultimate vibes and just like, you'll work it out. You think, you go where you think and then we'll change it later, right? And like, and Bradman was so frustrated at Keith Miller because he would say, why are you not trying? And Keith Miller was like, well, that's 400 for three, isn't it? Do I really need to make runs today? And like, that would just blow Bradman's mind, right? Of like, how could you not want to be the best you could be? And Miller's like, well, you know, I had a late night. I've got dinner plans later. You know, I'm hitting up a club. I can't be involved in all of this stuff.
So you once told me, Jared. You're
just making a pre-T20 era team.
Yeah, that, it is a bit like that.
but you once told me, Jared, a story where, you know, back in the day, you were either a Bradman family as a cricket supporting family or a Keith Miller family, right? So which one was your family?
Yeah, my family was Keith Miller. You know, we didn't rock with Bradman as much. That's more like hardcore cricket nerdery, right? Uh-huh. But there was, the difference is, and this comes down to the aura of Bradman was obviously brilliant and, you know, no one, but Keith Miller was box office. Right? Yeah. Like, you wanted to watch Keith Miller play. And also, he was always in the game. He was a great fielder. He was a great batter. He could captain. Obviously, he could bowl fast. Like, he just had so many different skills. Whereas Bradman would bat for 2 days and then you'd wait for him to bat again. So Keith Miller is, you know, especially if you look at Sobers and Imran Khan, they both bat down the order. Keith Miller was quite often up at 4 and 5, right? Like, and if he took it seriously, could have batted wherever he wanted in the thing, but that wasn't him. He wasn't vibes. And to talk about the, there's a real, I think it's Mihir Bose, I think, might have written the book about Keith Miller, one of the early really good books on Keith Miller before we knew about the whole family stuff, which does take it to a slightly darker path. But Mihir Bose was talking to someone, I think, who was working for the BBC, and she was this woman, and she was like, he told her that Keith Miller had retired, or they were talking about it, and she's just like, yeah, I'll never follow cricket again. Like, that is the kind of impact that he had. And this was an English woman, right? She wasn't Australian, right? Like, you know, that's the Imran Khan thing that we're talking about again. Whereas Keith Miller and Imran Khan probably transcended cricket more than Viv Richards and Garfield Sobers. Not to say that they weren't also larger than life figures, but there's something about Keith Miller and Imran Khan that was a lot bigger than just the sport.
True. Anyway, that takes us back to Varun, and let's see what his second pick of this podcast will be. I reckon he's going to go for a shit pick, isn't he?
Yeah, this is a pure bias one. MS Dhoni.
There is another wicketkeeper with much more aura than MS Dhoni.
What are you on about, man?
That guy's also... He's coaching a team, and he's brought that aura into Test cricket as well. I feel like that's a wrong pick.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, but do you want to justify your MS Dhoni pick?
MS Dhoni or Brendan McCullum?
MS Dhoni.
I would always go with Baz McCullum over MS Dhoni as far as aura is concerned. Nah, look at the tattoos and just the natural demeanor and the way he approaches the sport.
I feel like Baz tries too hard to be like have aura. I think MS doesn't try.
MS is a different kind of aura.
Yeah, but he's still got a lot of aura, man. Like, bowlers just stop, like, their brain stop functioning when he's batting, and he's like 43. He has no knees.
Yeah. I think if you think about it, like, look at what's happening with him now when we all know he's kind of washed. Not completely washed. He won a game the other day, but washed compared to himself.
Yeah.
And look at the way the crowds are reacting. I don't think that, like, that's not normal, right? Like, it's different to even what I saw with Sachin. It's different to what I've seen with Virat, right? Like, you know, there's something different going on there with MS Dhoni that it's almost, yeah, I don't know if Varun's got this right in order of the play that you said before, but I also can't see how MS Dhoni doesn't have one of the highest auras in the history of the game, because there's a way that you talk about him that is not the same that you talk about other cricketers. And I think that has to be a part of it.
I mean, he is ice cold. Pick.
I'm surprised.
Look, I like the fact that, you know, he has that ice cold thing going for him, Dhoni, in chases or behind the stumps and the lightning stumpings and all of that stuff, right? The fancy runouts, which he kind of made mainstream, right? And his keeping to spin. But also, it's like MS Dhoni's aura comes from his fans, right? That's what I feel. And they are like fanatics of the highest order, because if someone else hits the winning runs in CSK, they hound that person's Instagram that why didn't you let MS Dhoni hit those winning runs? That's the level of weird aura we're talking about. But Baz McCullum had the drip. He walks out, you're watching him, and you don't want to take your eyes off the screen. And he played his cricket in a certain way, and even, you know, impacted the teams that he captained and the teams that he coached in a way that I feel like he has bigger aura.
Yeah, but
it's a tough one.
You can still fit him in. I think you get a little bit more. I think you're a little bit more affected by raw sexual machismo than
maybe
than
I am.
Is. I think Varun is just a step there. I don't think Varun's quite as thirsty as you are, Beira.
Well, anyway,
I was quite thirsty for Imran.
is this the thirsty 11?
Yeah, it might be.
I did tell him we should do a sus 11 one of these days.
Yeah, because this is the aura 11.
I did think, I did try and come up with like women with aura. And it's like, there's been some great women players. I couldn't really come up with a woman who would crack into this lineup. Mm. And then I was like, does that mean I'm thinking about aura in a weird way? Because in some ways, Elise Perry has aura, but in some ways she's kind of like a blank page. Do you know what I mean? Like her career has aura. But does she have aura, right? And then I went through all the different women's players and I was like, Charlotte Edwards doesn't really have aura. And Mitali Raj kind of does, but it's kind of like, I don't know, the John Cusack kind of aura, where, you know.
So who was the...
You know what I mean?
Like, who basically came up with the World Cup?
Rachel Hayhoe Flint. But no, I think the biggest aura female cricketer for me is Shabnam Ismail. I think she has great aura.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That fast bowler energy, though, is that aura? I mean,
you're also not wrong.
Rachel Hayhoe Flint was the one I was thinking of as well. But Rachel Hayhoe Flint is kind of like almost like a member of the royal family aura. Like, I don't know if that transforms. Maybe that's just my colonial bias against posh English people, but I'm not sure like I could ever be like, if Rachel Hayhoe Flint was a man, I would hate her. Right? Like, I would absolutely despise her if she was a man. So maybe because she's a woman, it changes everything. But it's weird. I don't know. There's something about this category that I found really, really odd. Anyway, Bayram's got two picks.
I've got two picks, and I don't really know how we're going to make this batting order work, but my second pick is Virat Kohli. He has to be in this. I think as far as Indian cricketers go, for me, he has the most aura because he's the sort of dude who will go out there and he wants to dominate you. And he's going to pick a fight with, you know, the opposition team. He's going to be in their face and then he's going to back it up with performance. And then his celebrations are very out there, you know. He doesn't really hold back. And he is the master of the chase. We've seen it 10 billion times. And yeah, I mean, it would be a disservice to cricket, I feel, if Virat Kohli didn't feature in an aura 11 or 12.
I will contend that slightly because I think he does sometimes have moments where he has negative aura. Like when yelling into the stumps.
Sure.
Like the Sam Constance thing.
Whoa.
There are odd instances. Odd instances.
No, yelling into
that.
The stumps is the greatest thing he's ever done in his career.
Yeah. But it's not aura, the Jared. It looks stupid when you're yelling into the stumps saying, like, super sports should stop cheating. Like,
I think sometimes he breaks the aura meter and then, you know, you get the yelling into the stumps sort of stuff. But I don't know. Wow. When he walks onto the field, he has this certain energy that's circling him. Which comes from the entire cricket universe.
I agree. I think that's fair.
You know?
I completely agree.
That's Virat Kohli for me.
So to go back on what Varun just said, I think the problem is he's overexposed. If you go back, and I've said this before, there's a lot of Pakistani fans get really angry. If you go back and watch Imran Khan say, we want to play like corner tigers, right?
Yeah.
It is delicate, right? Nervous. It's not like he's like, we will play like corner tigers, which is how it's remembered. Right. If you go back, it's like, Cipelli, I think, you know, I want our team to play like corner tigers, right? It's not like, And I think with Virat, he's had a lot of really cool moments, but we see every single moment, right? Like if Virat scratches his nuts with his left hand, you know, at the cricket aggregator sites do like 12 articles on it, right? So I think
when he flips the crowd, we remember it for a decade.
Yeah. Exactly.
60 overs of hell out there.
Yeah, so if you look at Viv Richards or Garfield Sobers, they probably had a lot of bad moments. Like Garfield Sobers was willing to play in South Africa for money, right? Yeah. Like Viv Richards, I think Viv Richards once basically said that the West Indian team should be for black players only or something, you know, something along those lines. Like, but that fades away because it isn't like a 24-hour news cycle and it's not remembered and everything else. With Virat, the aura is almost mixed up in the fact that the minute he goes out on the field, there's 83 different cameras pointed at him at all times.
Yeah.
And like, you know, so I'm okay. I definitely think he should be in the top 10. I have no issue with that at all. I think Virat maybe is higher than Dhoni, even if Dhoni probably deserves it more, if that makes sense.
I agree. I had Virat as my number two because I knew Viv would be off the table and I was surprised I had the opportunity to pick him up, right? I will be going for my pick number three after a very, very short break. You guys are watching Crick Picks with Jared, Varun and Behram and we'll be back in like half a minute.
This is brought to you by Cricket 8. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. We have a partnership with them where we host live watch-alongs, do podcasts and write articles. If you want to know what is really happening with our game, visit cricket8.com.
Welcome back to Crick Picks. You guys are with Varun, Jared and Behram and it's time for me to pick my third player in this maximum all-time aura team. And I want to go for a Pakistan fast bowler because I don't think you can have an aura team or it'll be incomplete without one of those guys. But the thing is that you probably can only fit in one of those guys and you've got options. You've got, an option to go for the arguably the greatest left-arm seamer of all time or one of the greatest Yorker bowlers, reverse swing Yorker bowlers of all time. But I am going to go for the fastest bowler of all time. Give me Shoaib Akhtar. The ratty hair that Jared loves, right? And again, just like Imran has all of those stills on the cricket field, Shoaib has plenty as well, where he's just, you know, kind of looking at like the air or anywhere, like with those eyes.
I think my favorite
sweat dripping
clip of him is. I think my favorite clip, it might have been a test in Australia. He's just closed his eyes and the wind's blowing his hair.
Exactly. I feel like even though Waz and Waqar had massive aura, but like Shoaib, just because he was the fastest and he knew he was the fastest and every game that he would play, there would be a lot of like media work around the fact that he was the fastest. And every time he would come on to bowl, they were like, okay, Shoaib's on. right? It's just that sort of stuff. And the general aggression and in-your-face nature that he had, I feel like he kind of comes into this team ahead of Waz and Waqar. What do you guys think?
I had him listed higher. I didn't even have Waqar on the list. I made peak Waqar.
Yeah,
had incredible aura, but I'm not sure all the way through. I've told this story before, but like, I was at the counter game where he was paid a fortune to come and play two counter games. Not a fortune by today's standards, but a fortune by then. And he refused to walk to the umpire from square from fine leg, and he would just basically walk around the boundary and throw his hat behind the boundary and then walk in the five steps and bowl, which is just, and like the umpire's like, wait, what's happening? And like he wasn't near his teammates for like 40 minutes. Right. And even when a ball, he was at fine leg, and even when a ball was hit out to him, he would just look at square leg as if to go, you know, I'm not going to chase this. You are going to have to chase this, even though it's only 20 meters to my left. Right. And then after bowling, he went down on the boundary and he asked for the physio, but the physio was too far away. And then he just gets the groundsman to come over and he's trying to teach the groundsman how to massage him. And the groundsman's like this big, greasy, hairy dude who's like, why am I touching this sweaty guy? And he's like, no, do this, do this. But he just does it, right? Like in a way that like, I just don't think you do that if it's not Shoaib Akhtar. There was something about him. And yeah, look, also the fact to go back, I know I harp on this a lot, but like just the deny, that the how much Riz do you need to deny the fact that you're bald? Right. And just be like, it doesn't, no, I'm not bald. And everyone's like, are you sure? Because it looked, no, I'm not bald. But maybe if you just cut your, no, I'm not bald. And he just went, he just refused to believe he was bald. Like, you know, this isn't like your uncle with the comb over, right? He had like the long, we could all see it. We could all see the head under his hair. Yep. He's like, I'm not bald. I'm sorry. You're all wrong. I'm not bald.
And of course, you know, we didn't have like, measure or equipment to measure speed of bowlers back in the day, but ever since we've had that, Shoaib has been the fastest ever. You know, he's bowled the fastest bowl ever. Plus, it's that iconic celebration in which he spreads his arms and he's a bird or an airplane or Shoaib, you know. And every time, I don't know, Jared, you probably don't know much about this because most of the stuff he says on TV is in Hindi / Urdu, right? But even when he speaks on TV, he comes with that. It's the same aura. He's like, I'm the fastest bowler.
He talks the way he bowls, right?
Yes, he absolutely talks the way he bowls. And he always like talks about himself also, which is like he'll find a way to praise himself. When Shane Warne passed away, he made a video on him and he was like, Warney was a great cricketer. And he used to say, Shoaib, I love the way you play your cricket. Like stuff like that. So I guess he has to make it to this team. Okay, Varun, it's back to you. Now, it's probably a good time to look at the team, isn't it?
Yeah, probably a good idea.
We have Viv Richards at 3, Virat Kohli at 4, Keith Miller 5, Sobers 6, Dhoni 7, Imran 8, Shoaib 11.
Oh, it's actually turned out quite fine.
So we need openers, we need a couple of bowlers.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think we just said like Shoaib bowls the way he talks the way he bowls. I'm going to pick someone who talks the way he bats.
Sure.
I'm going with an opener, Virendra Sehwag.
Yeah.
I don't know if he deserves to be.
It's an interesting
so
one.
I'm going with Sehwag. Yeah. I think with Sehwag, I think it's just the, like one of the reasons I love him as a batter is again, the way he just like attacked in it, like when he was playing for an Indian team, which looked down upon it to be an attacking batter. And then again, it's the famous, like, the gold test match where, again, like, no one could pick Ajanta Mendes and Sehwag just like, hey, what's wrong with you, idiots? He's just an off-spinner. Just smash him.
It's interesting you've gone for Sehwag because his demeanor maybe doesn't drip aura, but his batting does, right? And his approach does. And the way he looks at cricket, that has aura.
And the singing a song while hitting sixes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That bit.
Yeah. But you're right. He looks like every uncle in the world, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. He just looks like an uncle who like maybe played a bit of sport when he was young, but has had a shit job and doesn't really enjoy it, but likes a barbecue maybe, you know, hangs out with his friends and talks crap at you know, while drinking chai, whatever it is, right? That he's got that vibe.
Yeah.
And then the minute you listen to him, he's Viv Richards, right? Like, in fact, he's more Viv Richards when he talks than Viv Richards is because he talks about himself in the third person all the time. Right.
Yeah.
Again, I know I've told this story, but this is for this podcast, you can't not tell this story. And I think Brett Jeeves told me this story, right? So Brett Jeeves played for Delhi in the first couple of years. And he's on the bus and they've had this terrible game, right? And Viru picks up the mic and he says, there will be extra practice tomorrow. You are all very, very horrible. You must play cricket better. He goes on and on for a bit. And then he goes, but Viru was very good today, so Viru will not have extra practice. And then he puts the microphone down. Like,
wow.
Completely unaware of the, everything that is going on in the world. Like, and, you know, there's obviously all these different stories of those sorts of things happening. Mm. And he really is. The ability to talk third person for so many years, because eventually you stop talking third. Even the people who talk third person when they're... Viru is just like, no, I am Viru. I'm talking about Viru.
Yeah. I think John Wright was, apparently like had a story where he was telling Viru to train and Viru was like, it's too cold outside. I'm not going to train. But Wright was like, if you train, your body's going to warm up. He's like, nah, it's just too cold.
What are you talking about?
Yes, he has this sort of slapstick nature, but then when he comes out on the field and if he's on song, then well, joke's on you, I suppose.
Yeah. Again, I don't know if Jared listens to a lot of his Hindi stuff, but again, yeah.
Exactly. He talks the way he bats. They are very similar with respect to their...
No filter in the brain. Yes.
Their media personalities are very similar. They're not going to put a lot of thought into it. They are just going to say what they feel like.
Yeah. So just on I went to a literary festival, sports literary festival in Pune, where I didn't even know it was on. And it was like in the hotel next to me. And they asked me to come over and I just ended up eating free food. They didn't even get me on stage. I just had their free food and sat there. And Viru did a whole panel on his Twitter account, right? Which is one of the more remarkable things of all time. Also, he doesn't write his tweets. Someone else, there's a comedian who was writing his tweets. And yet, so... In his mind, that doesn't matter, right? Hmm. In his mind, that doesn't change anything because the way that he looks at the world is like, yeah, of course someone else wrote it, but it's still me, right? Like there's this incredible disconnect of like, no, it's still me even when it's not me. Anyway, okay.
He has his own school as well for some reason, like which is the most random thing ever.
What sorry?
He has his own school.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And you get expelled Jared,
it's like Sevag International School.
Jared has his final two picks.
Okay.
And before you pick anyone, I am guessing there's at least one golden oldie in this, isn't it?
There might be. I'm going to go someone quite modern actually here because I think this is a player who, when people look back, they're not going to get him. And that's because they didn't see him and they don't understand the aura. And that's Freddie Flintoff.
Oh, yeah.
Freddie Flintoff is more aura than player, right? Like, remember with Keith Miller, I was like, you don't quite. But Freddie Flintoff ended up with like TV shows and wrestling people in Mexico and all this sort of stuff. That's pure aura, right?
Yes.
It's very possible that a lot of people who follow, like younger people who never saw him play in England, don't know why Freddie Flintoff is famous, right?
Yeah.
Like he just became famous for these weird reality shows and being Freddie Flintoff.
Because he even has that documentary with like young cricketers who don't know how to play cricket and he assembles a team out of them.
He was on Top Gear.
Yeah, like he was on Top Gear.
I think Top Gear is the stupidest show in the history of mankind, but I don't like Jeremy Clarkson. I don't like cars. And so it's never going to be for me. But my God, Freddie Flintoff, like that is a major show around the world. And Freddie Flintoff is like the guy they get to replace it. And almost bloody cost him his life as well, let's be honest. And it's cost him his TV career probably. That's why he's probably had to come back to coaching because he looks so different now, right? But I remember meeting him once and like it was. I've met a lot of famous people. You realize when you're meeting him, he's the sort of person who just naturally makes you feel at home and comfortable, right? Like he makes you feel like you're part of the Freddie Flintoff thing. And it was just such a weird, and I've met so many more famous cricketers than him that like are just awkward or, you know, shy or arrogant or whatever. Freddie wasn't any of those things. He was exactly as you see, a bit of a doofus.
He was
lots of fun and very lovely.
He was like Ash's Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, I literally wrote a book called When Freddie Became Jesus. So I would have to say
there you go.
Like Ashes Jesus. Okay, so Freddie Flintoff, I'm going to go for. I'll leave you guys with the other bowler and the 12th. You can work that out amongst yourselves.
Okay.
I think that I need another opener and I have three options for openers. I have a very old opener. I have two very modern openers. And I don't know what direction to go. I'm going to go, if it's aura, okay. It has to be WG Grace.
That's an opener.
Yeah, he was an opener.
Yeah, he could open.
Have a look.
He's an opener. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, why he batted as a number three.
He batted everywhere, mate, but he wasn't opener. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
WG Grace, like, even now, like, we know that he was a terrible human being. Like, he hated women's cricket. He ripped off all the professional players who played for him. He kept picking his sons in cricket teams when they weren't very good. Like, he did. He's like the worst of everything we hate in cricket. And yet, almost none of that, it's like, oh, he's a bit of a scallywag. He cheated in the scorebook. It's like, what? You guys aren't happy when Johnny Bairstow is stumped when he leaves his crease, but you've got Yates of WG Grace? Like,
and
that's pure horror, right?
He kidnapped the bloke, right? Remember? He kidnapped someone.
And like, again, like when Monty Python wanted a god figure, they picked WG Grace like 70 years after he was dead, right? Or 60 years after he was dead. Like, it, just everything I think with WG Grace is so ridiculous that like they almost founded a whole new county team because he just didn't want to, he wanted to play in London, but he didn't want to play for Surrey or Middlesex. And so like, we now have London County Cricket Team, right? And then he leaves and the team just disappears. They're just not existing anymore after that. Just a ridiculous person, all things considered. Some of those modern guys I think deserve to be in there. But if you're talking aura, like his aura is like off the charts, right? He was the first ever global superstar in sports.
I, before this podcast, thought that he would be your first pick, honestly. But then, of course, there's some more obvious ones. They're probably like at least 10 to 15 or maybe more Crick Picks episodes out there in which Jared has picked WG Grace. I called it once as well. I remember I wrote it down and it was his first pick. So no two ways about that. He wasn't even like a professional. He would prefer amateur cricket because he would make more money and he would bring in the crowds, right? That was the aura of the man. And even years
after
his passing.
They charged more.
Yes.
They charged more for the games that he played in than normal games. Yep. Like,
and
I mean, that's all you need to know.
He's thought of as the father of cricket as well. Like he just has that kind of, I don't know, aura, I suppose. And Freddie was on my list as well. I really wanted to pick him, but I'm glad you did because he definitely deserved to make it. Anyway, so Varun, before you go for your next pick, let us take a short break. You guys are watching Crick Picks with Behram, Jared and Varun, and we'll be back very, very shortly.
If you need a VPN, go Nord. Use nordvpn.com/Kimber to get a 2-year contract with a discount, plus 4 extra months, plus gifts in some markets. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. Protect your computer like a blocker protects the stumps with NordVPN today.
Welcome back to Crick Picks. You're with Behram, Jared and Varun. And Varun is about to go for his final pick in this episode. Let's see what he's got for us.
Jared, can I know the team, please, so far?
You need another bowler and a 12th.
Yes, Sehwag, Grace, Viv, Kohli, Miller, Sobers, Dhoni, Flintoff, Imran Khan. And then, so yeah, one more bowler and whatever the 12th is.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, that's a difficult one.
I mean, there is one very obvious spinner, bro.
Yeah. I'm just going to go for the spinner, then it's easy. Shane Warne.
Obviously. Like, I almost took him ahead of Shoaib, but I just thought in terms of aura, Shoaib was more dangerous. You know? It was a tough one for me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you compare them to the cricketer, Shoaib has a higher aura for his talent than Shane Warne does for his talent. But, like, I don't think we... Do you remember when Reece Topley was like dating a famous tennis player? And it was like, why is that famous tennis player dating Reece Topley? And you're like, okay, that's an interesting one. Shane Warne dated Liz Hurley. Like there's just, he's so ridiculous on the level of his aura. And I'll say this. So someone said this the other day, it might've been Ian Bishop was asked who like the coolest cricketer was or something, or I don't know what it was something. And he picked Shane Warne. I was like, I've hung out with Shane Warne. I didn't find Shane Warne like a particularly cool guy. Like he was kind of nervy and looking at his apps and trying to find a date and whatever. Hmm. But every cricketer I've ever met is like, oh, you have to hang out with Shane Warne. Like, and so clearly there's just something very different about Shane Warne than other cricketers. And it transcended sport, right? Like it did transcend sport. Like Nike tried to make him into an international athlete in the 90s. When like Americans didn't even know what the fuck cricket was, right? And they tried to make him into an international athlete. The Liz Hurley thing, you know, the, you know, just the ridiculous, everything about it. Like, he put a mural up at his house.
Yeah, the smoking thing.
The smoking thing. But the remember, he put a mural up in his house, right? He put a mural up at his house, and that stopped the internet for 2 days, that mural, right? Like, literally, it broke cricket Twitter, Australian Twitter, English Twitter. Like, it went well. Like, that's the thing with Shane Warne is when something happened, like, they gave him his own chat show, and he couldn't even talk. Like, it wasn't even his main skill. Like, they just gave him a chat show. He'll work it out. He's Warne, right? Like, it's just a ridiculous person.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, like, that story where he drives all the way to God knows where to meet Darren Berry, is it? And he's smoking these cigarettes all throughout, and he just has, like, one conversation with Darren Berry, and bam, they have, like, this bromance brewing from there on. And it's just everything. It's the smoking. It's the Casanova sort of image. Liz Hurley. For those of you who don't know Liz Hurley, you need to Google Liz Hurley, right? And yeah, apart from that, all of the Hurleys that he would hurl out on the field.
Yeah, just, you know, the whole thing.
Giving the opposition team so much stick, getting into Daryl Cullinan's head, right?
But
all of that stuff.
But we were talking about Imran Khan and you know, Keith Miller, and, you know.
Yeah.
We've seen pictures of Warne in his underwear with two women around him, right? He was like a politician who's been stalked by the media to catch him having an affair at all times or having sex at all times. Like, it's just such a random thing to think back on. And not even in his own country. This is in another country. Like, and that's one of the things I would say about the sort of auras. Like, especially with someone like Shane Warne, he is more famous out of Australia. Well, not more famous. He's like England is probably his biggest market, right? Like, as far as like who Shane Warne is. And he was the opposition person who destroyed their country every time he played against them.
That is so true. And he had that fear factor when he came on to bowl. He would give you, like, or hurl tons of abuse towards you. And he was just a competitor and a half, right? Plus, his off-field character also kind of puts him really high on this list. In fact, now I'm kind of surprised that he's going 11th, you know, in this draft. Because it is Shane Warne. He kind of oozes aura. Right, and then after he retired, he became thinner than he ever was, and he got this model-esque face. Right, like, there was so much going
Flintoff
on over
as well. Right,
yeah,
him and Flintoff both actually got fitter and better looking after they played.
They got their glow ups post retirement, which was also interesting.
Did he buy his glow up or was he did he earn it?
I'm not sure about that.
So. Towards the end of his life, you would see him from front on, he looked like one person, and from side on, he looked like someone else. It looked like he had like a plastic mask on his face, and like it really didn't look like it matched the rest of his body. But he was artificial in so many different ways. But that was also his big thing. Like, he started with artificial hair color, right? Like, he wasn't hiding it, and that was, you know, I remember that people would say, "I don't understand Michael Clarke and Shane Warne. They're like, what's the difference? They both, you know, want to transcend and whatever." And it's like, yeah, but Shane Warne's a giant doofus, and we can laugh at him and with him at the same time. Whereas Michael Clarke, everything was so calculated, everyone could see what Michael Clarke was trying to do. That's the big difference between the two. No one's putting Michael Clarke on this list, right? Like, you know, and yet Michael Clarke dated celebrities, and Michael Clarke put tips in his hair. Like, there's a natural element of Shane Warne.
I mean, that 2005 Ashes Shane Warne was maximum aura Shane Warne for me. That was my guy, right? So, I don't know why I gave this pick to you, Varun, when I said there's a very obvious spinner because I wanted to pick him. And now he's off the table.
Appreciate the help, man.
So we have, in our bowling, we've got Imran, Shoaib, Sobers, Freddie, and Warne, right? Do we have
Miller.
It? And Miller and WG Grace. So that means that we've got...
And Viv Richards is bowling.
And
Vera is bowling.
Sure. And Virat's bowling. So that means that I
MS
can...
MS Dhoni bowling.
Yeah, of course. That means that I can go for a batter. And I'm just going to, like...
Yes.
I was going to be really pissed off if he didn't make this 12. So here it is. Baz McCullum does make this 12 after all.
I feel like...
He would be 12th man because if Dhoni is unfit, maybe he comes in. Or maybe if you want an attacking opener, right? Like, Baz McCullum could go and do that job. Also, when he's 12th man, he could coach the team and they could Baz ball. Think about this. There is a form of or approach of cricket, a method of cricket in Test cricket now, which is named after the bloke. Bazball. Mm. He doesn't like it, but people did coin that term. And
it's an Oxford term now. It's a part of the dictionary.
It's not just a cricket term, is it? It's actually now in the dictionary. So, I mean, that's aura, isn't it?
It's weird how people will watch T20 cricket and a team is scoring 280 and they'll be saying, oh, they're bazballing it. It's not even the same thing. And that's how synonymous the word has become, right? Like you literally use it loosely for everything. And Baz McCullum was one of my favorite players when he was playing, right? Whenever he would come out to bat, he would be like, okay, I'm going to leave everything else and I'm going to watch this guy step outside the crease to fast bowlers and smash them over their heads. That was just the man, right? And the way he kind of led New Zealand in 2015 in that ODI World Cup to the final and the way he batted all the way through, all of New Zealand's aura was eliminated the moment Stark got him in the first over in the final, right? Like, that was it. The way he chewed his gum, weirdly, much like Viv Richards, I suppose they both have that same thing in common, and like built muscles with all the tattoos. And I mean,
it's he starts at the IPL basically, right?
He scored that 150 odd in the first ever IPL game. Also, you know, he had a major impact on New Zealand cricket and the way they think and the way they formed that team. And I feel like ultimately, whenever like they won that World Test Championship without Baz, he laid the foundation in a way. And then also with England, sure, you know, it might not have been all, you know, rainbows and butterflies for Ben Stokes and co. But at least we all remember the start and we all do agree that there are certain innovations within Bazball, like funky fields and the Bazball shuffle. And, you know, it's way more than just attacking batting. And it all kind of drips down from his aura. That's what I feel. Mm. So he has to be on here.
I mean, he's not going to be remembered for really many of his numbers. Even his strike rates are not epic compared to some other players, right?
People won't even remember him for his triple hundred.
Yeah, he's literally going to be remembered for the impact that he had on the game. And, you know, it's really funny watching him and like, I've had conversations with him once or twice, but I wouldn't say I know him or anything. But like watching him walk around, you know, at the CPL or in the IPL, like, and I'm talking about in hotels with other famous people, like cricketers who are better than him are like walking behind him like he's the main dog. Like he just has a vibe that is different than other people. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. So we have our 12, but before we kind of go out and read that out along with our four individual picks each, let's do some honorable mentions. I'll go with mine first. Chris Gayle misses out, doesn't he? He was on my list. Yeah, so it's unfortunate for the universe boss not to make it. And, you know, in hindsight, we probably should have just done a top 15 aura players and not a team. That way, Gayle would have definitely made it. And then Waz, I think Wasim Akram had a lot of aura as well. So those two guys were the big misses for me.
I don't know.
I mean, does Sachin have aura, right?
Like, that's what I was thinking. Sachin's the other one I had.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I mean,
so.
They have aura, but I don't know if they're known for aura. Like, do you know what I mean? The aura is...
That's what
I was the other saying. One I had that was similar. And so you throw all three of them in. So you Bradman, Tendulkar, and the other one's Trumper. None of them really have an aura. In fact, they're kind of sort of nerdy, dweeby guys. Like, you know, Victor Trumper's known for being really nice. Like, it's, you know, Trump... And Sachin's known for being really nice and liking batting, and Bradman's known for just liking
Ben
batting.
Stokes.
Like, yeah, so it, like you would say that Stokes has more aura than those three. Even no one's saying that he's a better player. It's just, so I think Stokes is there. I had both of them as well.
Yes, Ben Stokes had to be there, true.
Yeah.
Lara both is another one.
I mean, had you not picked up Keith Miller, I think Ben Stokes would have easily made it, right?
Yeah, perhaps. I was looking at the openers, I was looking at McCullum and WG Grace, but the other one is Hayden, right? Like Hayden, you know, Hayden is a professional commentator and is not particularly good at saying words, right? Like it is all based on who Matthew Hayden is, right? Like as a character, as a cowboy, as a big swinging dick, right? Like, and, you know, I think that just tells you who he is as a person. I've got a couple of others here. KP.
Yes. KP is definitely a very strong contender.
And here's one that Varun might not know, but Bayram, you probably know. Brian McMillan.
Yes. I remember Brian McMillan.
Because... Brian McMillan is just like, everyone, and I don't know if it's aura or everyone was just afraid of him because he was so big and scary looking.
I think
and he
it's
always
more of that.
Made jokes about guns.
It's, it's his
but he
frame.
Didn't have, you know, there was something about the whole thing. And if you want a blast from the past, the other one is Warwick Armstrong, who is literally,
the captain.
Again, and he's kind of like the 1920s version of McCullum. Like, not as a player, but certainly as a leader. Like, he really changes cricket quite a bit. And you go back and you're just like, well, he was an okay player. Mm-hmm. But realistically, like, he's remembered a lot more than a lot of better players than he is. And it's because, yeah, you know, he's the big ship and, you know, he's famously reading newspapers out on the field because he's bored at how people are playing. And I think I mentioned this one before. Actually, I'll do both of them. But Leary Constantine, obviously, is one. And Farouk Engineer is another complete aura player, right? Yeah, I think
Leary Constantine I had on my long list. Hedos is a very interesting one because, you know, similar to Warney, in the sense that Warney wasn't an elite commentator, right? But he had all of the elite commentary gigs and his peers loved him. Nasser Hussain still tears up when he talks about him. There's like this media box or something, or commentary box named after the guy, right?
I think Warney was a better analyst than a commentator. Like, if you ever seen his post-match breakdowns,
yes, that's true. He wasn't a very good caller. He wasn't a great caller of the game, but obviously he had a fantastic brain on him. With Hedos, it's true. Like, he was mentor for the Pakistan team in two T20 World Cups, and they made it to the semis and the finals. And all of those players talked like immensely of him.
Yeah.
So he clearly had that thing going for him where he would like give you that sort of energy or be like, okay, you're the man. You know, you're gonna go out and do that.
So me and Matt Hayden have never met, right? But we have a lot of friends in common, and they will say, Jared, you've got to stop saying this. And I was like, I'll stop saying that he's a bad commentator when he starts to make more sense with what he says, right? That's how I do my career. Yeah. And they'll be like, but you have to understand what sort of a guy he is and everything else. I was like, there is an element of like, my favorite Matt Hayden moment is when he, oh my God, you guys, there's the big spiritual leader in India who is like friends with all the cricketers, and that he does like an hour long interview with Matt Hayden. And clearly Matt Hayden thought that this spiritual leader was going to interview Matt Hayden, right? And then about a minute in, it's quite clear that it's Matt Hayden's job to ask the spiritual leader questions. Mm-hmm. And it is an hour of the highest level of gobbledygook I have ever seen two humans be involved in.
I need to find this out.
This might be Sadhguru.
Sadhguru, that's him. Sorry, yeah, I always forget. Also, a lot of people have reached out from him cricket to tell me what a great guy Sadhguru is. I'm like, yeah, but still, everything he says is fucking nonsense.
Proper charlatan in my eyes as well.
Just not a fan at all. I'm not a fan of people like that in general.
Yep,
But regardless of that, I've heard what he said. Like, to go back to our second pick today, Viv Richards, he once said that when Viv Richards played, he didn't have... he wasn't playing for any higher ideal. It was just, you know, he was cool and he went out and played. Whereas with Virat Kohli, he's playing for the Indian people. Literally, Viv Richards had talked about playing for black excellence his entire career.
Yeah.
Like, not only is that racist, it's just idiotic. Like, you don't know anything. Don't open your mouth if you don't know what you're talking about, right? Like, certainly don't say something like that about a legend. Anyway, look. But that to get back to the point is, I think someone like Hedos still has an incredible, like, he's still getting jobs because he is Matt Hayden. And those things matter, right? Like, it's a very, very important, not even important. It's a very interesting part of how we deal with things, right? Like, it's that there is a legend beyond just how you were as a player. It's, you know, what you brought to the table. And so I think there's a lot of those guys out there. And there's probably like lower level players too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I feel weird one, like maybe recency bias, but does Bumrah have aura? Would you guys
Bumrah is too nice a bloke, I feel. Yeah. His skill has aura. His personality, does that have aura? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like I said, he's too nice for a fast bowler, which is also something I at times appreciate because there are no celebrations. He's just smiling. You know, there's something that you take out of that, but
I would throw in a couple of other random ones as well, like Max Walker from Australia, who went on to be like this incredible personality and was like not really like that as a cricketer. Wasn't known like that as a cricketer. And the other one is probably Navjot Sidhu, right? Who's like, like everyone bagged him as a cricketer, Mr. Block, right? Like there was the whole thing. Yeah. And it's like the minute he got in front of a microphone and like everything that's gone on in his life, the good and the bad since he played, is like, dude, this dude's a dude. Like, he might be. I don't know if he's a good dude or not, but he's a dude. Like, there's something going on there. And I'd probably put Bishan Bedi in that one as well, where you're just like, Jesus, Bishan Bedi's going to say some shit. He's just going to say some shit, right?
I've got one. How about the Whispering Death?
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Yeah. Mike Holding probably makes it on aura, doesn't he? Mm-hmm.
And I reckon that's a late career aura.
Yeah.
I don't know if in the 90s.
I think it's mostly his voice, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it is. I think he ends up becoming a really important commentator, doesn't he? Because he says what other commentators won't say the truth because they're terrified of not getting jobs. He then speaks out on racism and everything else, but he also becomes this sort of, like, he was obviously always a really intelligent person, but I don't know if we knew as much about that in the 80s and 90s. By the 2000s, we know how intelligent he is.
He left commentary saying that, I still love cricket, but I don't like the people who run cricket.
Yeah.
That's how he left.
No, I think he's an interesting one. We've mentioned McCullum. Who's like, and maybe it's not even McCullum, but like, we haven't mentioned Sri Lanka. Is it just Aravinda?
Yeah.
The Sanath aura?
Yeah, probably. No, I don't know if Sanath classifies as an aura cricketer. Sangha has a different kind of thing going for him. He's like that dude you want to listen to. You know?
Mahela, not really. Chimondavas, literally no.
He's too quiet. Yeah.
It's probably Aravinda, right? Like, or Ranatunga. Ranatunga probably.
Ranatunga is highest on aura.
Ranatunga does have aura, yeah, fair. Ranatunga does aura.
Maybe Aravinda and Malinga are next. But even Malinga, it's just the hair, isn't it? Like, take the hair out.
With Malinga, he was a player, then he becomes the coach, then he comes back as a player and wins them the trophy. So
I think also people have told me that he's because Sinhalese isn't that widely spoken a language. Like, it's like if he spoke Hindi or Urdu, he'd probably have 5 million followers on YouTube as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? He'd probably be in that kind of thing. And I've heard he's quite full on with what he says, but it's not reported in the same way that the Indian and Pakistani former players are. So I do think there is an element. And also, the Sri Lankan internet is an intranet, right? So not everything comes out of Sri Lanka the way that it does with other countries. So I think, actually, I'd probably have Aravinda, Arjuna, and Lasif as my three aura guys there.
Yeah. Those three definitely make it from Sri Lanka. I feel like Stokesy and KP. I don't know. I haven't really seen Hadley that way, right?
Martin Crowe, I think, had aura. But does Fleming have aura? Or is he just
I think he's too boring.
Maybe Nathan Astle has a bit of aura. I don't know. The way
only Varun would say that Fleming is boring. Every like 90s kid is like, he was the biggest tactical genius that had ever existed.
He had nine gullies
to Damian Martin. How could you be boring?
So I feel like...
I didn't watch anything of this, so I think so.
We've mentioned a fair few honorary mentions, and I feel the biggest misses are probably Gale, KP, Stokesy. I put in Mike Holding in there as well. Maybe Haydos. And maybe Waz. Those guys, for me, are probably the biggest misses. What about you guys?
If you had
to pick a next player, who would it be?
Gale, probably.
Yeah, Gale's up there.
Gale or Sehwag.
Yeah, I think both of them and Warwick Armstrong are very, very, I think, very, very aura-driven players as well. So they're probably up there as well. But Hayden and Gale are definitely on that list, I think.
Does AB have aura, you guys reckon?
No.
I don't know, man. He's just a really good batter, like one of the best, but he doesn't have aura.
You can't release a Christian rock song that literally he was falling asleep while singing and still be involved with aura. I'm sorry. You just can't. I'm sorry.
Herschel Gibbs had a bit of aura. He was like an aura cricketer. Yeah. Herschel Gibbs is a good one.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've probably missed plenty of names as well. So let us know who we've missed in the comment section.
Can I just give you one old one?
Yeah.
Doug Walters.
Okay.
Doug Walters.
I don't know much.
Doug Walters was known for drinking, smoking, hooking, and taking ridiculous... Like, everything Doug Walters did, whether he made runs or didn't make runs, it was extreme. And he was just like... He was like... Was it... Jake Lehman came out the other day and said that Travis Head is like a rich bogan, right? Which is, you know, obviously a term in Australia. Like, Doug Walters is like the bogan's bogan. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's the pin-up bogan of all time. And again, just like, he's famous in cricket countries that he wasn't even any good at because he's just Doug Walters.
Fair enough. All right. We might have missed a few names as well, which you can drop in the comment section below. And let's have the team, Jared, the full 12, and then four picks each for everyone.
Vrinda Sehwag, WG Grease, Viv Richards, Virat Kohli, Keith Miller, Garfield Sobers, Emma Stoney, Freddie Flintoff, Imran Khan, Shane Warne, Shoaib Akhtar, and 12th is Brendan McCullum. Bayram went Imran Khan, Virat Kohli. That's a very interesting combination. Shoaib Akhtar, Brendan McCullum. Your list is wild, actually. Varun went Viv Richards, MS Dhoni, Vrinda Sehwag, Shane Warne. I went Garfield Sobers, Keith Miller, Freddie Flintoff, and WG Grace.
Yeah, so that kind of wraps this up. And let us know where we fucked up, whether or not Gail needed to be in this. Because I feel like now that I look at the team, he probably did deserve to be there. But anyway, you guys will have your own thoughts and let us know in the comment section below. Also, a quick reminder, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage, and that can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. But that's it for this episode. We'll see you in another Quick Picks next week. Have a good one, folks, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bayram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.